The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
What's going on, grandkids? Welcome to a very special edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. We are looking at new formats for some of our podcasts, and one thing that we want to do, because my buddy here, who's on the other end of the line, has a real passion for these sorts of things, Dusty Ebank wants to do some shows about conspiracy theories out there, about famous people, famous things, famous happenings, and in an effort to broaden our horizons a little bit, we're going to tackle the big issues. We're going to find out things like whether or not Paul McCartney's actually dead, whether or not we actually landed on the moon, that squirrel across the parking lot from me is ever going to find a nut, and lots of other things. So, Dusty, how's it going today?
Hey, what's going on, my friend? Wacky weekend for you, and a very wacky weekend for me.
You got me beat. I only had a bachelor party.
Right. I had to choose between Hunt's and Heinz as far as which ketchup I wanted and from the dollar store. So, doesn't
man,
get any
I
more
didn't,
wacky than that. I'm telling
I lucked
you.
Out. I didn't have choices to make. People were making my choices for me. So, I'm
nice.
Living vicariously through you from here on out.
Yes, excellent.
So the topic of the day, the topic of this particular audio, and yes, we... The intention is to make this a series of audios, and we are probably going to bring in some other folks if we can get schedules coordinated to talk about certain passion topics. But the topic today is about Paul McCartney, and of course there are rumors that Paul McCartney died during the Beatles run, and all sorts of other theories around that. So Dusty, first of all, just a question, how did you determine that this was kind of a passion topic of yours, the Paul is dead specifically? Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at a young age, I was always kind of curious about stuff, and the origins might trace back to UFOs, might have been my first passion.
Yeah.
As far as this genre goes, I can tell you that my dad and grandpa saw UFOs.
Yeah.
And they're both the kind of people who wouldn't bullshit about stuff like that, you know? They're not, like, never did a wacky story come out of my dad's mouth, you know?
Yeah, you can believe whatever comes out of his mouth, you can pretty much believe it.
Yeah, exactly. He's a no-nonsense, no-bullshit kind of guy, so, you know, either he saw a UFO or he saw something, you know, like, that he thinks was a UFO. But it's a pretty plausible story, so... And actually, to tie into that, one conspiracy I don't believe is crop circles.
Okay.
And I guess now that my toe's in the water, I got to dip in here. My dad was driving home one night, and it was really late at night, and he drove past a field. And in that field was what for all the world looked like a UFO. And
in
he saw
field.
It out of the he saw it out of the corner of his eye. He's like, "What the fuck?" You know, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So then he kind of stopped the car and kind of looked, and so the next day he goes out to the field, and in the field, because the UFO was apparently like a three-pronged thing with like a Hubble on top of it, right?
Yeah.
That's what he saw.
Wow.
In the field wasn't a crop circle. It was just kind of like burns where the three prongs were.
Okay.
So if I get, well, what's your definition of a crop circle? Isn't that supposed to be what happens when the spacecraft lands or something, what they leave behind?
I mean, by no means, it doesn't have to be defined by its geometry, but yeah, I mean, I think that's it. Is,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you said, well, I mean, So your dad, was he driving and just saw this? Like, was he out?
Yeah, I mean, he drove past. He drove past the field on his way home.
Okay.
And there it was. So.
There's that. Okay.
And there was another instance where he was driving one night, and one flew over his head, and there were like three other cars by him, and instantly all the power goes out. The overhead lights on the street go out, the cars go out, they can't start. And it was like four. So those two instances where my dad saw a UFO.
Oh, my God. And so he talked to you about this, and you'd heard the stories,
Wow. So that's what, you know, got me started. Then I started, you know, watching those shows. There's shows on UFOs and stuff like that. And I don't really know where I first heard the Paul rumors. It was probably, you know, I guess by the time I got internet, I was pretty into some conspiracies, trying to figure out what's real and what's not. And you know, that was one of them, and of course there's websites for everything. You know, you start to dig in and, you know, look at the clues and make your own judgments and stuff. So
cool. There's probably
three conspiracies that I would go to the grave with.
Okay.
And aliens exist is one, because it makes no sense for me that we're the only planet with life on it.
I agree.
The fact that Lee Harvey Oswald did not kill Kennedy is two. And number three is that there's something fishy about Paul.
There we go. Cool. And JFK is on the docket at some point.
Yeah, if we could ever get Jordan to do an audio, he's like the leading expert on JFK research.
That's great. JFK shopped for pies. And Jordan knows all about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cool. Well, I can, you know, I'll, just for the hell of it, I'm pretty sure I saw a UFO when I was about 6 years old, too. And my dad has always been open-minded enough to, you know, to help me think that there's a possibility that there's life out there, too. So I'm with you on that one.
Okay.
I'm excited to hear a future JFK show. And I'm ready to do this Paul show. I think this is a cool topic. Cool. So just to clarify for my sake, now the theory, as it were, in shorthand, is pretty much referred to as Paul is dead. Is that the only thought out there, that he's dead? Is there a thought that he was simply replaced and the old Paul just kind of got tossed by the wayside? Or I guess, what is the actual theory here?
Well, you know, that's the problem with these conspiracy theories. Everybody kind of agrees on a little bit, and then they branch off into several different territories. Some think that Paul is dead. Some think that he's alive or was alive but replaced, and some think that he was alive the whole time. Okay. Now, the one that really interests me is the one where he stayed alive but was replaced. And, you know, there's some theories about that, too. Maybe he got sick of being famous and wanted to escape. There's a possibility that the real Paul, if indeed he was replaced, had health concerns, possibly irritable bowel syndrome is one of the rumors. Also was prematurely balding. Is another rumor, yeah. So,
and he was so self-conscious that he didn't want to shit himself and go bald on stage.
I mean, right? Yeah, maybe. So,
wow, just to, you know, get it out there, there are some theories that are a little wacky.
I have
a few crackpots here and there.
he
didn't want to perform anymore because he didn't want to step on a crack on the stage and break his mother's back.
No, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because there is a small section of Paul died people who believe that he died, and then 2 days later his body was shot into space.
Oh,
okay?
Jesus.
So you can take this in any wacky direction you want to go.
Oh,
and my guess on that is that's disinformation. These are people purposely leading you off the right track, and there's a lot of that, especially in the JFK thing.
Yeah. Well, there's probably a lot of people who have a lot to gain from doing that. There are also probably people who just like to screw around.
Yeah, absolutely.
They get real deep into the weeds on a theory, and then they find ways that they can poke holes or create new stories. It's almost like that fan fiction stuff, you know, where, Bella and Edward didn't get together on the Jacob on the Twilight, so I'm going to write a story where they really got together because I know what her favorite color is and her favorite dessert. And whatever else. So it's like, okay, I know Paul got the flu in October of 65, so I'm going to say he had irritable bowel syndrome.
Right.
Okay.
Wouldn't it just make more sense if Paul died that they buried him somewhere, you know, like real quick? I mean, wouldn't that just make more sense? I mean, if you're going to shoot him off into space 2 days later, what do you do with the body? How do you hide getting the body onto the spacecraft? You know, how do you keep all of that a secret? It simply makes no sense whatsoever. But,
who's got this on-demand space shuttle service anyway? Oh, Paul's dead. Let's get a spacecraft out here.
that just shows you that this can go in any wacky direction. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that makes conspiracy people look insane, you know?
They're giving you a bad name.
I mean, it's already bad enough, you know, just surface level. It seems pretty wacky to think that Paul died, but, you know, hey, there's a shitload of clues that lead to something.
Well, how long has this theory been around? I know that there were like student newspapers. In fact, Drake University here in Des Moines, a kid wrote a story about Paul is dead. About the same time, I think some others did, and there were rumors circulating at the time. But how long has this been a theory?
It goes back to at least 1969. That's when people started to notice there was the Iowa guy that you mentioned. There were some students in Michigan, I think, called into a radio station, and some student papers, you know, articles written, research done. You know, and some of it sure was tongue-in-cheek, and, you know, some of the original clues are just fake and meant to be jokey, but it was the basic.
By the way, this was when students had ambition. This isn't like, opinion, the cafeteria sucks, breaking news.
These students took it upon themselves to really, you know, dig into this, so...
Yeah.
The '60s were a better time for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Well, I guess what are the theories on how Paul actually died, and when he died?
Well, the most popular theory is that it was November 9th, 1966.
Okay.
And in fact, during the year from 65 to 66, he did indeed have two car accidents. The first one was probably a moped accident. I think it happened in late 65 or early 66. He had a moped accident and ended up with a chipped tooth and a scar. And if you watch, there's a couple videos where it's evident, the tooth and the scar. I believe Rain is one of them. If you look up the music video for Rain, you can see it evident there. But the second one is where they think he died, if he did indeed die. And they point to November 9th, 1966. And one of the big clues is on the Sgt. Pepper's cover.
Yeah.
If you go to the bass drum and hold a mirror halfway through, you know, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Whatever.
Yeah.
You get the number one, the word one, the Roman numeral 9, and then he die.
Whoa, very nice.
So if 1-1 is 11, and then the Roman numeral 9 is just 9, November 9th is when he died, you know?
Wow, and Sgt. Pepper's came out after that date, right?
It did. That was in 67. Okay.
Okay. Wow.
So you can definitely point to, you know, that as a big clue. And there are a couple other clues that point to November 9th. The song She's Leaving Home starts with the words Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock as the day begins. And if you look it up, you know, November 9th, 1966 was a Wednesday.
Okay.
And then also in the song Lady Madonna, they have the line, Wednesday morning, the papers didn't come, which many take to mean maybe he died on Wednesday morning and it was covered up and not in the newspaper.
Right.
Possible, you know, whatever. So,
well, which would go along with the theory that they shot his body off into space and didn't have any fanfare behind it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because that's easy to just sneak, so perfectly plausible.
And just throwing this out, kind of early in the conversation, but it's on my mind. These couple things you said made me think this. This whole idea of the cover-up, I mean, this is like probably record label-driven, I would think. You know, this is their cash cow. I mean, they're making money hand over fist off these four guys. And
And
if one of them dies, they can't afford to just let the whole thing go by the wayside. They need to find another Paul.
Absolutely.
So covering up is probably...
It's probably in their best interest to keep people thinking it's Paul. Like, a lot of bands have replacements. The only 60s band I can think of that stayed together the whole time was the Zombies.
Uh-huh.
Every other band had, you know, rotating band members. And I think
the band Foreigner at this point doesn't have one original member. In fact, they on stage, I heard this through someone who saw them in my hometown. They said, give it up for our guitar player so-and-so. He's been with the band 25 years. And we're like, yeah, the band's been around for 35 years.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, and Paul was Paul. I mean, Paul was the heartthrob of the group. So, you know, you don't want, you know, legions of young women who are spending their money on these 45s to think that the guy that they've got a crush on is dead. Now they don't spend any money on the albums anymore.
Absolutely. You know, so if it was just some new bass player, you know, people would think otherwise of the Beatles, maybe. So.
Yep, definitely.
Let's see. Maybe now is a good time to point out one of the things listed in several places. John at one time said his favorite book was The Passover Plot. Are you familiar with that book?
I am not.
Okay, it was written by a British scholar. And he studied the Bible, and he believes there's clues in the Bible to suggest that the miracles were planted and that Jesus faked his resurrection.
Okay.
You know, hey, whatever. So,
A lot of people take a lot of time to fake their death, but it takes quite a bit to fake your resurrection.
Sure, yeah. And that all these secrets were on a, you know, a need-to-know basis by his disciple, you know, like a handful of trusted people. Because I know it's going to come up, like, how can you keep that such a secret? Well, if you keep the number of people who know the secret to a minimum, you have a better chance of keeping it a secret. So there's a chance that less than 10 people know about it, you know?
Yep.
You know, I don't know, and probably in the rest of the band's interest to keep it a secret.
Sure. Well, what had some of them said? I mean, were other band members asked about this at the time or spoken to about it at the time, or was it a while later that anybody ever really commented on it?
Well, you know, John on the Dick Cavett show was asked about it by a kid. And said he didn't really know where it came from. He doesn't know anything about it. But then later on, you know, in one of his solo album songs, there's the line, the song is obviously a shot at Paul, and there's a line in it, those freaks was right when they said you were dead. So, you know, I mean, that could just be like a diss at him, but, you know, it could also
that's
more
a total,
than...
That's a total Dr. Dre and...
So it's possible, if anything, John invented gangster rap, basically.
Yeah, awesome. That's the fallout from Paul is Dead.
Yeah.
West Coast
exactly.
gangster rap. Nice. Well, what were some other kind of early announcements and clues then? So we've got people talking about it in student papers, but that's, you know, a few years after the fact. So other clues that these people are gathering over the years. Pointed out, you've shown me album covers, you've talked to me about, like, different names popping up in liner notes, and obviously people are reading into lyrics like crazy. So what are some other clues throughout history?
Well, I mean, reading into lyrics is a big thing. There's at least two different instances in Beatles songs mentioning car crashes.
Yeah.
Day in the Life, which is sung by John, includes the line, "He blew his mind out in a car." And the Ringo song, "Don't Pass Me By," has the line, "I believe it's you were in a car crash and you lost your head."
Wow.
So pretty specific, you know, pretty right on, you know, kind of
yeah.
stuff. So
yeah.
And
well, which,
really,
which
they kind of...
The...
Okay, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just what you said right there leads me to that Foot on the Hill single album cover.
Yeah.
With the whole car crash and the lost your head thing. I mean, you pointed out some pretty specific stuff on that album cover, including Paul's head basically being split in half and half of his body being under the ground as though it was buried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first thing you notice, and what I'm talking about here is the Fool on the Hill promotional
picture. Well, I don't know why I just said, I think I was thinking Foot Under the Hill or something like that. I think I misspoke.
No.
Fool on the Hill, thank you.
Fool on the Hill, yep. And... like, the first thing you notice is the hand is underground, and it's also awkwardly shaped, and it also doesn't have as many fingers as the other hand on the other side. And if you look close, it sure looks like a dead body that is headless. So, you know, blew his mind out, lost his head, headless body, there you go. There's three clues right there, you know?
Yep.
The L in Hill... piercing through his head could be another clue. Let's see. Oh, the reel on the side of the picture suggesting it's a photograph taken by a camera.
Mm-hmm.
One of the pictures in the photo collage of the White Album has what looks like it's a car crash on a hill.
Wow.
So it's hinting to that maybe as well.
That's amazing.
And then there's a couple other wacky things I don't even really want to talk about. But
hey, you know, his 2 feet, the way that his feet are drawn, resemble what looks like a mustache or a fake mustache.
Absolutely. So the fake mustache is important because in the music video for, I think it's Day in the Life, actually. There's that song again. If you play it slow... you can kind of tell at one point that he's toying around with a fake mustache. You can see where it, like, comes off of his face, and he's not really wearing a fake mustache.
Yep.
Also, in the Sgt. Pepper's book, you know, they got, like, the Sgt. Stripes and stuff, and one of the other things they have is a fake mustache.
Yep.
You can't be Sgt. Pepper without the fake mustache.
Yep.
Interesting that. and we'll get into this in just a little while, but backwards messages and songs. And on Sgt. Pepper's backwards is, "It was a fake mustache, it was a fake mustache." So, again, there's at least three clues pointing to fake mustaches.
I'm going to hop into this question, too. I mean, it could just be catharsis. Or it could just be a warped sense of humor, but what in the world makes a band want to either... here's the thing. With our sense of humor, we can probably understand perpetuating a rumor. But let's say this were true about their former bandmate. What in the world makes you want to continuously write lyrics and drop hints and clues that your old bandmate died in a decapitating car accident?
Yeah, right. Good question. I don't really have that answer.
Yeah.
Just hypotheticalizing, maybe they wanted you to know but couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Maybe the record label didn't want them to tell you, and this was their way of sneaking around that.
Right. Hoping you'd just take it upon yourself to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, and I mean, there's so many other clues and things you can assume from a lot of these album covers. Abbey Road, and from, what else? There are other things on Sgt. Pepper, right?
Oh, absolutely. Every album from Sgt. Pepper's on has oodles of clues, but Sgt. Pepper's is just ridiculous for clues because it's basically a funeral, you know?
Right.
I mean, what else can you get out of that picture? It's a funeral.
Yeah, and then they each have their role.
Mm-hmm. Look, I mean, the flowers, Beatles is written in red flowers, and then right underneath that, in yellow flowers, you can either interpret that as a left-handed bass guitar or the word Paul with a question mark.
Wow, yep.
Maybe it's meant to be both.
Yep. And what's different about Paul on that album cover?
How do you?
I want to say something about him is different compared to the other three. Kind of like with the Abbey Road album cover, where he's walking out of step with the other three,
yeah,
and he's barefoot.
Yeah,
I want to say that
there's
something.
Specifically on the back cover, there's a picture of him where he's facing the other way from the other three members.
Okay,
so that's something. He also, I think, purposely, on the cover, if you look at it, he's, like, way taller than everybody else. So you wonder what's going on with that, because other pictures suggest he wasn't that tall.
Sure.
So that might be something.
The possibility that he's floating, not standing on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the fact that John said... John, who didn't know about any of these clues and has no idea what you're talking about, once said, on the Sgt. Pepper's cover, two of us are flying and two of us aren't.
Yeah, what the hell is he talking about?
Right, what the hell? What is he talking about? Exactly. Could just mean that two guys are high and two guys aren't on drugs. Maybe.
Yeah.
Or it could be something else, you know? In which case, what? And indeed, if you look over to the left on the cover, is wax figures of what the Beatles used to look like. And
right.
John and George seem relatively happy, while Ringo and Paul look like they're in mourning.
So it's two of those four are flying.
Right.
Whatever that means.
Right.
Two of those four are sad.
Yes.
Huh.
And two now, are.
And I keep coming back to the Abbey Road album cover. And I'll just, real quick, too, because I feel like I keep coming back to Abbey Road, the Rubber Soul
album cover.
The idea with Rubber Soul is that they're all looking down into a grave, correct?
Well, that's my theory, anyway. If you look at the Rubber Soul album, I mean, it sure as shit looks like they're looking down at a grave, you know?
Yeah, it does.
That album was in 65, so those clues don't count, you know?
Okay, there you go. Good to know.
Yeah.
And put that into context, yeah. And then with the Abbey Road, the idea of John is, what is it? Is he the minister, the preacher?
Yeah, John is sort of dressed like a hippie preacher, kind of.
And it's all white, yep. And then is it Ringo next?
I think Ringo next. I'm digging for it here.
If we're going right to left, yeah. So John's walking in front. He's in his all white. Ringo in all black?
Hang on. We're getting there.
I want to say he's like the widow in mourning or whatever the idea was behind there. Maybe he was the Undertaker sort of thing. I'm trying to remember what George's role is in this.
I think he was supposed to be the Undertaker.
Okay, because, yeah, Paul is the dead body with no feet, no shoes, no feet. Yeah,
no shoes.
No shoes.
No shoes on, out of step with everyone else, and holding a cigarette, which is a coffin nail.
Right, yep.
So goes the theory.
Yep.
And then George bringing up the rear is the hippie gravedigger.
That's right, yep. Which makes sense because he pretty much looked like one on that album cover.
Absolutely.
George, did you not get the memo to dress up today because we're shooting an album cover?
Right.
Oh, my God. Where'd you get that brownie? There's a whole plate over there.
I mean, some would argue that it was, you know, the way they were supposed to dress. So.
Yep, exactly. Oh, this is all amazing. And you had pointed out to me a few instances of, like, alternate names being used in liner notes, and there's, like, a common theme with some of these strange names.
Okay, well, I mean, this could be nothing, but this is just a side theory. Inside the Sergeant Pepper's booklet, there's a picture of an officer standing, and then Sergeant Paul sitting.
Uh-huh.
And on his desk is I was, I-W-A-S.
Yeah.
Now, that could mean I was alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could just be that simple. It could also be his initials or the initials of the person who replaced Paul. A lot of people believe that the replacement's name was either William Campbell or William Shepherd.
Okay.
So William A. Shepherd would fit with the was.
Yeah.
It has a meta clue there. And then on a later Paul solo album, the drum work is attributed to a W. Adrian Shepherd. So.
Now, and you mentioned, too, that I think it was John who said something like Ringo's not even the best drummer in the band.
Yeah, they asked him if Ringo was a better drummer than Pete Best, and he said, no, he's not even the best drummer in this band. So
yeah, leading people to believe that this W. Alan Shepherd, who was given drum credit on whatever the song was possibly the Paul character playing the drum.
Right, who is acknowledged as a good drummer. So
Yep. Wow. Well, and now, who is this? How'd this... this W. Alan Shepherd, William Shepherd, where was he found? Was this like a look-alike contest or a audition or how did this happen?
So that's the rumor, and who the hell knows, to be honest. But the popular folklore is that they held a look-alike contest, never
secret,
announced the winner, and basically swept the guy away, gave him plastic surgery, and fitted him into the role.
Wow.
So
how different does this guy look? I mean, how did Paul's features change to the point where people may have taken that seriously from point A to point B?
Well, I kind of focus more on the songs and the pictures and stuff because the photographs can be doctored and they don't tell the full story. But here's, if you want to believe this. I'm trying not to endorse every possible aspect of this because some of it's probably bullshit. But
yeah,
the later Paul was taller.
Mm-hmm.
The forehead was different.
Yes, I've seen that.
Forehead, just a bigger person, bigger feet, for one.
Yeah.
If I can find it, I haven't been able to find it this weekend. But there's a comparison pictures of his feet, and they're much bigger looking.
Wow.
In later photos. So, that could just be bad photography, or it could be something else, the ears look different, all kinds of different stuff, I guess.
Is it possible that the car, that the actual, was there an actual car accident and an actual moped accident?
Yeah, he did have two documented accidents. A biographer of his confirms this, yes.
Is there any possibility that there was just plastic surgery after the fact? And no,
absolutely.
It wouldn't account for a bigger person with bigger feet, but it would account for, you know, physical or facial feature changes.
Absolutely. That's absolutely possible. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's there. Let's see. Are there any other lyrics? I mean, there's you know, a ton of backward lyrics. What else is worth talking about?
Well, okay, we can go into the backward stuff. It's believed that Paul is a disciple of Aleister Crowley.
Okay.
And in his preaching, he advised his followers to talk backwards, walk backwards, play albums backwards. A big proponent of backwards. So that leads you to believe that, you know, maybe there's something to the whole playing stuff backwards. And also, going back to Rain, that's the first case of the Beatles using backwards. They're upfront about this. At the end of the song, is like, I think it's just the chorus backwards.
Okay.
An open admission that they use backwards, you know, masking.
Yeah.
You know, as if to suggest that there's more to it. And really, from some point on, you can play almost all of their songs backwards and get something out of it.
Sure. I mean, if you try hard enough, you can get something out of any of them.
Right, exactly.
Yep. But there are cases where, I mean, the wording is there that leads you to the clue that...
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's also some clues just forward, you know?
Yep, sure.
Like if you listen to Blue Jay Way, you might be able to hear in the background, Paul is bloody. And, of course, there's the popular one at the end of Strawberry Fields where John says either cranberry sauce or I buried Paul.
Right.
And I buried Paul is backwards on some song that I forget. All Together Now. All Together Now, if you play it backwards. I buried Paul.
Yep.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so, I don't know, it's so mind-boggling, but it's so cool to go through all this stuff. And
I know, right? At the very least, it's just information, you know, interesting information to go through. So.
Yeah. You know, too, I can see this as, you know, as the Beatles got older and matured as a band and as songwriters, and they went from the singles era to the more concept album era, and they got more into drugs and the Maharishi and, you know, everything else that they got into, all the East Indian stuff and Ravi Shankar and his you know, sitars and all that sort of thing and just their transcendental shit. I could see, and with their sense of the humor, you know, that their personality shines through, too, in everything they do.
Mm-hmm.
I could totally see them, you know, just starting this from scratch, and, hey, let's just pretend that that Paul died. Let's, you know, fake this, but, you know, maybe he had the car accident. It's like, okay, let's pretend Paul's dead, and they plotted out 4 years worth of clues.
Sure. There's a popular theory that all of this was planted purposely to increase album sales.
Yeah.
And
yeah, buy the album and look and listen for clues.
Exactly. Exactly. And you better buy the old albums, too, because there's clues there, too.
Yep. God, that's great.
Yeah, and there was actually a TV special, and this is interesting, because it was hosted by a lawyer named F. Lee Bailey.
Yes.
Where have you heard that name before?
Yeah, he's a pretty famous lawyer.
Known in at least two other instances, he was one of the guys on O.J.'s Dream Team.
Yes.
And he was also the one who tried to get the Boston Strangler free.
Yep.
Because the Boston Strangler, the one we know as the Boston Strangler, didn't do it.
Yep.
For one thing, there were more cases after he was apprehended, and for another thing, there were at least three witnesses who ID'd somebody else.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that counts as another conspiracy, I believe, but
yeah,
whatever.
There you go. That's cool. Athlete Bailey's got a checkered past.
So, yeah, he's got all kinds of stuff in his past. but he hosted a special, I think it was in 69 or so, 69, 70, where he was interviewing people. He interviewed some of the students who did some of the research, and he interviewed Peter from Peter and Gordon, that band.
Yeah.
Who was the brother of the girl that Paul was going out with at the time. Before mm-hmm. Linda, there was Jane Asher. So, and his theory, I guess, you know, if he had a theory, was that, you know, it sure does look like all this stuff leads to increased album sales. And so that would be a plausible reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would totally buy that.
Yep. Now, that doesn't explain some of the, you mentioned to me some of the cover-ups, particularly Paul's girlfriends, wives, and things yeah. that some other folks have done to cover up, you know, the not just the news not coming out and not just the body being shot off into space, but, you know, evidence being lost, burned, that sort of thing. So what are some other ways this has been covered up?
Well, okay, when Linda died, there was something like 17 tapes, and Paul paid $200,000 to get these tapes mm-hmm. and then destroyed them. And then his second wife, Heather, went on a TV show and claimed she had a box with incriminating information about Paul. And she was going to keep quiet about it and probably got paid to do so. But it would devastate Paul if that information got out. And my question is, a logical one, what the hell is so secret about Paul? That there's
yeah.
all these tapes and boxes and stuff of information. What
right.
could it possibly be?
Yeah. Yeah, what is W. Allen Shepard hanging on to?
Right. no, I can't even think of anything other than he was dead or he was replaced that would be that devastating.
Right.
Maybe that he's gay?
Right.
And that these women are just hired as beards? I mean, that's possible.
Oh, it's possible. I mean,
that'd
if we're talking
shocking.
About other cover-ups, it would be, yeah. Once again, the whole, you know, teenage girl crush thing, yeah, you don't want to ruin that image.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a different time back then, so if people realized that they were growing up listening to gay Paul McCartney songs, then there'd be an
right.
uproar over it.
Right. And it just proves that there's some kind of secret about him.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder.
Yep. Huh. So what has Paul said about all this? He, you know, is one of two remaining band members.
Yeah.
John obviously taking whatever secrets he's known to his grave and whatever George, you know, said or didn't say about it. Paul's still here. He's here to defend himself if he wants to. What
right.
has he said to the general public?
Well, I mean, there was an interview on Letterman. Letterman brings it up, and Paul kind of glosses over where the rumors started and then said, you know, people think that maybe he's a very close double.
Uh-huh.
And Letterman says something, an imitator. You know, not the real Paul, or that the real Paul isn't here. And Paul says, well, this is it, you know? Which is like, you can take that either way, you know?
Yeah, that's a pretty non-answer.
That's a total non-answer. And indeed, he likes to, if we can believe that there's clues, it's pretty certain that he likes to keep spreading clues.
Yeah.
For example, watch the video for Everybody Dance Tonight.
Okay.
And see the multiple Pauls dancing, you know?
Great.
And there's an album cover where there's two Pauls on the cover, you know?
Yeah.
Is it Paul going out of his way? I mean, either to laugh about it or whatever, but it's there, you know?
Yeah.
He thinks
yeah,
he's clever.
Yeah. Which again, you know, leads me to the idea that they just have wacky senses of humor and they're willing to play along.
Sure.
Interesting.
Could be. So.
So as you read about these things, I'm sure plenty has been written, and I know right now there are online communities that have popped up about this.
Yeah.
What are a couple of, I guess, I don't know, more thoughtful, I don't want to say reputable, because how can you, you know, stake your reputation on something like this, but if you were going to send people to one or two places to read up more about this, where would you send us?
Well, you know, it's sort of Goldilocks and the Three Bears here. There's one I can point to that I go to often, just looking for scraps of information, is called The King is Naked. It's 60if.proboards.com, and their general consensus is that Paul is dead.
Okay.
And then there's the big mess of a board, I think it's Maka Funhouse, that insists that Paul is alive and always was alive and always will be alive, and it was always Paul and never a replacement. And while that theory is probably the most logical, the people posting on that board are the least logical people I've ever come across.
Great.
And really make the whole Paul is alive case seem like a total joke. These people are insane. So if you want a good laugh, I mean, go to that board and watch somebody post a picture trying to prove that Paul from 64 looks exactly like Paul from 67, and then look at 5 pages of people congratulating them and just posting nonsense. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Funny.
I don't get it. But my favorite board, then, is Nothing is Real, Paul Was Replaced. That seems to be the best place to go for information or possible information. It's invanddis.proboards.com, as in investigation and discovery.
Okay.
You know, it could all be hoo-ha, you know, but there's... They're more logical about presenting it, and really they're just giving their ideas. And, you know, God bless them. Maybe they're all wrong, but who knows? They sure seem like better people than the Paul is Alive group. So.
The wackadoos that believe the original Paul is still alive. That's fun.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are pretty wacky. So,
yeah.
Those are the three big boards that I know of.
Okay. And I'll tell you what, too, for... folks who may pick this up on iTunes, we'll make sure to put links to all these boards on stuntgranny.com.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And YouTube, if you go to YouTube, I Am a Phony has a collection of videos, and he seems to know something, you know?
Yep. Wow.
And he has a second YouTube account, I Am a Phony Music, where... It's him.
Yeah.
Performing the Beatles songs and then played backwards.
Okay.
Proving, you know, the backwards messages. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Because the songs themselves played backwards aren't enough.
Right.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot swirling about him and who he is and what he knows, and maybe he's related to Paul or...
Maybe
he's a clue in himself. I don't know. Maybe it's just a whack job who likes to sing. Who the fuck knows, you know?
Yeah. Well, what do you think? I guess that's kind of my last question on this whole thing, is what do you think is the reality of this whole case?
All right, well, if you put a gun to my head and I had to be right, I would suggest that all the Beatles had replacements at some time. Meaning that, no, not that they all died, but meaning that if, you know, they're going out in public and they're famous people and they can't be everywhere all at once.
Yep.
So, all of them had a replacement for one reason or another. it sure seems to me like there's more Paul stuff than anybody else's stuff. There's some Ringo stuff, too, and I really don't want to go into, because who the hell knows if any of that's true, but a lot of it points to Paul is the point, and maybe he had a stand-in more than the rest of them. Maybe he did want to get out of the spotlight. I believe he was replaced. I believe there's a lot of clues. I know for sure that the clues exist, you know, because that's another thing. The Paul is alive people deny all the clues, and I think that's just foolish. The clues are there. The clues strongly point to two Pauls. Maybe he pops up when it's convenient, and when it can't be convenient, then the replacement pops up.
Yep.
Because it sure seems like the 1980 album Paul released is Paul, the original Paul. So,
like he got bit by the fame bug and wanted to get back out there.
Makes sense. It's possible that he had been popping up in between as well, you know?
Yep.
And just sort of having fun with the whole thing. That would be my guess.
Yeah. Well, and God love him, but these days he looks like he's had plenty of plastic surgery and gets made up quite a bit. So there's no reason to think that somebody else isn't getting the same plastic surgery and makeup on a, you know, semi-annual basis.
And, you know, the more plastic surgery that a guy has, he looks like an old woman.
Yeah, no kidding. And when Paul's getting there. He is getting there real close.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. This is interesting. I mean, it's just bizarre how this stuff comes together. And if you were to ask the uninitiated like me, I would just assume that, Paul had a car accident, people found out, and the Beatles and George Martin and everybody else decided to have a little bit of fun with it.
Sure.
Man, they took it to the nth degree, but, you know. I guess there are clues in my band's albums that I'm a huge dipshit, but that's yet to be confirmed.
Those clues are played forward. There's no backwards messaging there.
Well, you'll only find out if you get my album on iTunes.
Yes.
God. Well, cool, man. Anything else you can think of?
Well, I mean, you know, just real quick, like, you know, we touched briefly on the fact that there's clues from before November 1966, and that's where things get real sticky. Like, a lot of people choose not to believe the clues from 65. That can't be. The car crash didn't happen yet, you know?
Right, yep.
So a lot of that stuff is like, well, you know, do we ignore those clues? Are they not real clues? Are we just looking for stuff because we want there to be stuff? I mean, all of that's possible.
Right, yeah.
But I think that if you can take anything from this, know that there are clues to something. The Beatles are trying to tell you something or manipulate your thinking in some way. That's what I know for sure 100%.
Yep. Well, I'd say so. No, that's cool. And, again, the exploration's out there for you to check out. And, again, we're going to do a lot more of these. There's a lot to talk about. So, I don't know. I'm excited. I think this is cool. I think this is going to be a fun series.
Oh, awesome.
Glad we got it kicked off.
Well, your existence here validates my existence, you know, because if no one else thinks this is interesting, I'm just talking to myself like a nut job. And while that'll happen in the future, I don't want that to happen just yet, you know.
It's a little too early for you to be talking to yourself.
Exactly.
Like a babbling, shaking madman. All right, well, very good. I think I'm going to go ahead and sign out then. And hope everybody enjoys the show, enjoys the series as we develop it. And as Dusty, he's the gatekeeper to this information. So we're gonna do more of these as Dusty compiles the information and dumbs it down for me a little bit, gives me something to talk about bullet point wise, and Otherwise, the way I would like to say, you know, Dusty's on Twitter at Dusty Ebing. Hit him up there. You can always find us at Stunt Granny on Twitter. Again, if you're listening to this on iTunes, find us at stuntgranny.com. If you're listening to this at stuntgranny.com, find us on iTunes. And with that, I'm going to get out of here and go listen to Abbey Road.
All right. Well, for Eric Nelson and for the conspiracy maniacs out there who are probably listening to this and can give me more information or correct what I got wrong here, I'm Dusty Giebing. This has been a special edition of Stunt Granny Audio, and we'll try to do better next time. Ian Yakimo. Yeah.